So picture this. Harold Kurtz, my dad, whom many of you knew, is about 30 years old. He has gone with his wife and three young daughters, including me and my sister Jane and our third sister Joy, to Ethiopia. He has been in language school for a year, and now he has malaria. He is boomeranging from chills to fever and back to chills. He wants to attend the mission meetings that are going on, but the mission doctors, of course, want him to stay in bed. They finally compromise, and the mission doctors allow him to attend the meetings if he will lie on the couch at the back of the room. The question of the mission station in Maji comes up. Have the Presbyterians overstretched their resources? Should the mission station be closed? From the back of the room, my dad raises his arm, and in what he called his barnyard voice, he shouts out, "No, no, the Kurtzes will keep the Maji station open." Now, you have to understand that Maji was the most remote station of the Presbyterians in Ethiopia. It was 350 mountainous miles from the capital on an Italian road that was built during the Second World War and took a week to drive in a Jeep. Now, you might think this is not the most convenient and easy place to work or necessarily a good place to raise a family, but it was an inspired decision. And I say that on Pentecost Sunday, and I mean it literally. That decision gave us kids an idyllic childhood in a place of great beauty where we felt loved and protected by the community, and it set in motion blessings for many, many people besides our family. Now, fast forward 8 years. Dad is totally demoralized. The tiny church in Maji has not thrived. It has hardly even grown. And now one of the upcoming church leaders has committed suicide. Dad is ready to leave the mission work behind. He's ready to come back to Portland and start over. Fortunately, his mentors and bosses performed a rescue operation and sent him to Fuller Seminary for a year instead. And he returned to Ethiopia to lead the mission in planting more culturally appropriate churches. That was 1966. By 1976, Dad is working on turning over all the mission equities, all the mission lands, all the buildings to the Ethiopian church leaders. There has been a communist revolution, the king has been deposed and killed, and a brutal regime has come in. So the church in Maji, meanwhile, which had never thrived, had never grown, had straggled along, the lukewarm Christians there see the handwriting on the wall and they all become communist comrades. The local government nationalized the little tiny church in which this little tiny congregation had rattled around. They tore off the eucalyptus stick cross that had been pressed into mud plaster on the front of the church when it was built, tore it off, plastered it over, and it turned into a vet clinic. They began inoculating cattle and mules against sleeping sickness. Now, one of my friends in Maji tells me that some of them did remain faithful, some of them met for prayer in each other's homes, and every time they passed the new vet clinic, they felt encouraged. Encouraged? Well, where the cross had been torn off the building and plastered over, the plaster had made a negative space cross shape. And so this became like a secret code, like a sign of encouragement that the Holy Spirit was still secretly among them in Maji. During the communist era in Ethiopia, Christians were persecuted, many other people as well, persecuted, imprisoned, tortured. The church had to go underground. All the missionaries were gone, the translated hymns were forgotten, but the Holy Spirit inspired Ethiopians to begin writing their own music, songs of suffering, songs of praise, songs of faith. And then when the communist government fell, a church explosion occurred in Ethiopia, and our partner denomination in Ethiopia now has 8 million members and is still growing. I went back to Ethiopia to teach English just before this communist regime fell. I made friends with a doctor in Addis Ababa who had gone through the Maji Mission School. And I wondered, and I watched, and I prayed about what was happening in Maji. Eventually, my dad came back, and together we went back to Maji and helped the church helped the church congregation there get that little vet clinic church back again. But it was still tiny. And one of the church leaders who had traveled with us, one of the Ethiopian pastors, reproached the Maji Christians and said to them, "The gospel has been among you for 50 years and you have 50 members? What is wrong?" And my dad then piled on in Amharic and quoted Timothy 2 and said to them, "You have not been given the spirit of bondage, baronet, but the spirit of freedom, aronet." You can picture him, the earnest orator that he was. Not baronet, but aronet. But nothing seemed to work to bring the Maji church alive. Now the plot thickens. And I have to say, this is a hero's tale with all of the dedication and all of the hurdles and all of the trials and tears that any hero's journey has. The struggling humans who never gave up in Maji, who never gave up on Maji, are heroes, but I think the real hero of this story is the Holy Spirit, because these events could not have been planned by any human being. In 1996, an Ethiopian Airlines plane was hijacked on its way to Nairobi, Kenya. The plane went down in the ocean, 125 people died, and 50 people were rescued. One of those 50 people was my doctor friend from Maji. As he waited for rescue, floating on debris in the ocean, he prayed and promised to dedicate his life to a more concentrated service of God. He and his wife began about 3 years of prayer and fasting every Wednesday to discern how they should move forward, and eventually he signed up for night school at the local seminary. And then he began to visit Maji again. He led the Christians, this straggling group of Christians, in prayer walks around the church, which we had helped them get back, in prayer walks around the mission, former mission compound. They began to meet for prayer and began to have all-night vigils of prayer and confession. And the Christians confessed that even after they had professed faith, they had continued to go to the local shamans and do animal sacrifices just in case. And during the communist era, they had participated in some of the cruel human rights violations that had taken place. And guess what? It was the fullness of time. Now, when I go back, the Maji church is overflowing. People are sitting outside listening to the sermon through the windows. They have planted half a dozen daughter churches in outlying areas. They're building a church, a new church, three times the size of that original one. And every Tuesday and Thursday, there are volunteer crews that come from these daughter churches and help with the building project. A few months ago, they had a youth conference, and they overflowed the new building. They have begun to come to me asking them for help in how they might serve the wider community. One of the things they came and asked me for help with was light for the Maji Clinic. Midwives have been giving birth to babies about 18 a month in the dark with flashlights because the grid is stalled about 50 miles from Maji. And so in the fullness of time, I found friends to help me, and in October took a 50-watt solar unit to Maji to put on the clinic. And Beth has talked about this here before. In the fullness of time, I found technical support to dream bigger, to think about going further. We have designed a project that would empower the church women of Maji to lead in starting a solo co-op to bring light to families in the Maji district. At the least, this project will bring light to families. At the most, it may act as a prototype for how light can be brought to the 80 million Ethiopian families that do not have any source of electricity because they do not have access to the grid. So let me end with a story from a recent visit to Maji. I spent a day walking, interviewing people to see what they knew about solar power and whether they would be interested in what we were proposing. I described to an older woman what we would bring, a unit something like what we had put on the clinic. I said that we would hire a service person to replace the batteries when they wear out, because they will, to repair wires that get nibbled by mice, which will nibble the wires. I said it might cost about $5 a month. Would she be interested? She listened very carefully. Would she be interested, I said? Could she afford that? She threw her hands into the air and said, if by the power of God, something like this should come to me, yes, I would pay what you are asking. So this has kind of become a byword for me, if by the power of God. Only the Spirit of God could have brought together all these pieces. Me, the growing Maji Church, my doctor friend, my electric co-op colleagues. Only by the power of God will we move forward and get all these pieces to fit together to bless the people of Maji District. Only by the power of God will the Spirit move the hearts of Americans for seed money for this project. And only by the power of God will I succeed in my role to be a bridge for people 11 time zones apart. On Pentecost Sunday, praise be to the Holy Spirit, the one who works in all of our hearts, no matter how long it takes, even if it takes 60 years like it took in Maji. Praise to the one who brings us out of maybe emotional darkness, maybe spiritual darkness, or maybe like in Maji, also physical darkness, brings us out of darkness into light. Praise be to the one who brings us from bondage to whatever we're in bondage to, whether it's discouragement or despair or physical tragedies, into aronet, freedom. I'm going to bless you with the benediction in the Ethiopian national language. Yegziabi herfikr, Jesus Christos aga, Yemanfas kedus andenet kenantagar yihun. Lazalalem. Amen. Thank you.